This is the High School Football America podcast for the start of the NFL Draft 2024 in Detroit, Michigan. I'm Jeff Fisher. The High School Football America podcast is brought to you by GameStrat, America's premier sideline instant replay system with outstanding reliability, faster speed than Huddle Sideline. Plus, GameStrat has awesome customer service. Coaches, man, you got to listen to this. Hundreds of coaches have made the switch for their program, and one of the big reasons they tell me they're making the switch is GameStrat's customer service. They're there when you need them. Listen to what I just said, because I know some of you out there have had issues with other services. And GameStrat has different plans priced right for every coach's budget. And if you mention us, High School Football America, they will give you a friends and family discount from HSFA. To get that demo, go to GameStrat.com or click on the GameStrat banner ad that's located on every page of HighSchoolFootballAmerica.com. All right, championship chat here on the High School Football America podcast continues journeying north, and not because Jeff likes the Boston Red Sox a whole lot. It's to talk to the I do, Coach. I'm going to talk to the Division I champ. Won a Super Bowl last year at Gillette Stadium, home of the New England Patriots. Al Fornaro, the Zavarian brothers, longtime person, Coach. I was looking at that resume. You're an alum, and you've been there a long time. But anyway, he's on the line right now. Maybe we'll talk a little Red Sox, but mostly we're going to talk about the Hawks and a great year last year, and just kind of talk about what you've been able to do there building that program. So thanks for taking the time with me today.
Oh, Coach, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Well, you know, as we've done with all of these championship chats, we look back a little bit and then we look forward a little bit because we're in the middle here. And obviously at this point you've had a good, what are we, about 4 or 5 months, I guess 5 months since you won that championship. And I just would love you to take a few moments here to kind of tell us what makes you smile when you think back to what you guys accomplished in the 2023 season.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's always a pleasure to work with fine young men, and we're very fortunate to have a number of them. Our team this year, and people have asked me, you know, the old question, could you describe it in one word? And the word for us this year is resilience. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of personal tragedies this year. We had a boy who lost his sister last summer, a boy who lost his brother midway through the season, and then a week and a half later, a boy who lost his dad, and he was with him in the car crash. Oh. But each day at practice, and we spoke to the young men all the time, and they were able to come out for that 2.5 hours, and then on a Friday night, 3 hours, and escape, you know, the hardships that we were going, and just be good young men. And they all leaned on each other, they helped each other. And to see that and to realize, as we all do as adults, there are bigger things than just the game of football, and sure, that's called life. And they did an incredible and remarkable job.
My, you said a whole lot there, and obviously you didn't do it alone. You have a staff that helped you along the way. Obviously, parents played a big role in that. But as we talk some football here, tell me a little bit about your staff. You've been there a long time, as I said. You go all the way back. I think you're a '78 grad, right? That's the same year I graduated high school.
Okay, yes, sir. I've been. Next year will be my 45th year at the school. It'll be my 8th year as the head coach. One of the wonderful things for me is I only live 6 miles from the building. So where else am I going to go? I kind of make the joke, which really is not funny anymore, to the parents. I tell them I'm trying to get my tuition back. Well, when I graduated in 1978, it was $1,000, which was a lot of money for a family of six. Now it's, north of 26,000, and, you know, parents do what they need to do. You know, I've stopped using the word sacrifice and have used the word invest. You know, you're investing in your son's future. And I talk to the young men about you invest in yourself. And I've got a number of assistants who played for me, and they've invested. You know, it's a embarrassment of riches at times. The school affords me the ability to where I have a position coach on each side of the ball. So I have a quarterback coach who this year actually was Matt Hasselbeck, who Matt will play for us and played in the NFL for,
right,
I believe it was like 17 or 18 years. And then I have a cornerback coach. I have a safeties coach, a linebacker, each position. Now, we also were able to have people like Matt who volunteered their time and didn't take a salary. I'm not sure any other high school where we have Matt, his father, Don, who played tight end for the Patriots and the Giants and the Raiders, where he won a Super Bowl with my tight end coach. Rob Ninkovich, who had played most recently with the Patriots, came up a little bit midway through the season and then more towards the end of the year and worked specifically with the defensive ends. You know, three guys who played in the NFL. If young people don't want to listen to their high school coach, and they all should, we know how the world is, though. Here's the guy who did it on the main stage, you know? So my offensive line coach is an alumni, and this was his first year. He had been my head freshman coach, and he did a fantastic job. We had a gentleman whose son was with our freshman, Brett Warren, who played at Syracuse and had a cup of coffee in the NFL, and he's a local guy, and he ended up on Friday nights going in the box and just an extra set of eyes. And then he, you know, he stayed on when the freshman season was over. You know, so with the guy Teddy Freely, Teddy's been there almost as long as I have. He was actually a student trainer when I was a player there so many years ago. And so for me, there's a comfortability where these men know what they're doing in football. And that's obviously great. But they also know, and they've been able to change with the times, how to work with and mentor and nurture young people. And in this case, our football players. And I will be honest with you, Coach. I mean, we can teach football to anybody, you know, but how are you going to be able to work with young people, you know?
Yeah, and you know, you got me thinking there, and we already discussed we're the same age, and I'm from Pennsylvania, and I still have a lot of guys that are like you, right, the 4 or 5 decade lifers. And I don't know if guys like yourself are going to be here 50 years from now. And what I mean by that is the sport has changed a lot. I mean, X's and O's are kind of the same, right? And kids are kids, right. but there's a little bit of a burnout factor. So what keeps you enthused as you continue down the road with the whistle around your neck? It's not a 4-month-a-year job, right? You know, 4 months out of the year used to be football. Now it's year-round with everything. So how do you keep your enthusiasm high?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's for me, I don't work at the school. I work at UPS, but I'm right down the street. So I'm off work by 11:30, and during the season, I go right to the school. Just seeing young people, you know, mature in their 4 years with us, or six. We do have a seventh and eighth grade part of our school, and you know, I have coaches for that. But most of those young men are just there to meet friends, and quite often it's more than 50% decide not to play, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But just seeing how the growth in a young person from being that wide-eyed guy, because we are it's a commuter school. We draw for a number of different communities. It's not one town. And a lot of these young people come in and they don't know anybody or maybe one. And it's a whole new world. And to see them mature and to see them become leaders themselves. Well, we had a young man a few years back who, you know, some days he wasn't really on and he'd be off to the side and we'd spoke with him and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden you see him mentoring sophomores. And this boy was a senior at the time and saying, he gets it. He gets it. He understands. So what keeps me going there is the opportunity and the privilege to work with really good assistant coaches, and more importantly, the young men that we have in our program.
Seems like you've done an awesome job as I, you know, have watched you guys from afar over the decades of running High School Football America. Al Fornaro is on the line right now talking about a Division I championship last year in Massachusetts. The UPS guy delivered a Super Bowl title last year. And that's the other cool thing I love about Massachusetts. People may have heard me mention that through there. I did not misspeak here, folks. There is a Super Bowl title in Massachusetts, and maybe for the listeners around the country, Coach, maybe you can take a second there and understand, let them understand how your championships turn into Super Bowls.
Well, you know, I believe it was 1971 was the first one. Prior to that, everything was what they would call a paper champion. The sports writers and so forth would have polls, and then they would announce. So, you know, the powers that be and the State Coaches Association got together and said, hey, let's have a final game. So what they did is they organized where you would have a rating system, and you get so many points for beating a team and you know, how many wins they had. And thank goodness at that time they didn't have margin of victory included. And at the end of the year, there would be two from each division. Now, for the longest time, because we're not a very big state, there were three divisions. And so the kind of discouraging thing, I guess you would say, for a team, if you lost one game, more than likely you were out, because the teams at the end of the year were probably two undefeated teams. But it made for a little bit more of a goal, I guess you would say, towards the end. Now, the thing that goes on up here in Massachusetts that is, you know, pretty much unique to Mass and New Hampshire a little bit, and I know Rhode Island, we actually play on Thanksgiving Day. Now, I know in most of the other parts of the country, if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, that's a good thing because you're in the playoffs. Well, that's your traditional rival. I know you'll have many, but we play St. John's Prep out of Danvers. They are also a Zavarian Brothers sponsored school. And the way our playoffs work here, and we're trying to change this, is we play an 8-game schedule. Then we have round one of the playoffs. Round two, if you win, you've got basically a third game. Then you play Thanksgiving the following Thursday, which has no bearing as far as your playoff seedings. And then you play in the state championship game. Well, we had played St. John's Prep on Thanksgiving morning, and then 6 days later, on a Wednesday night at Gillette, we play them in the state championship game. And that's it's a quirky thing. It's the first time that it's happened at the Division I level in our state. And people who have been presented with that quite often, they sit their starters. And reporters ask all the time, and I will always tell the same story. If you think I could tell my seniors they're not playing on Thanksgiving at St. John's Prep, there'd be a mutiny.
Yep.
You know, and both teams played. And we played our best and our hardest, and then we were able to do it again and fortunately come out with a victory.
Well, you're talking to someone that knows about Turkey Day games. I grew up in Pennsylvania and grew up with one of the best rivalries in the country. And, of course, you guys have a ton of them. You have more than anybody. But in Pennsylvania, it's a Pennsy-Jersey battle between Easton and Peaburg. And you just flashed me back because there was a year, I'm thinking we're like, I don't know, 2007, 2008 or 2009, where both teams were going to play for state titles. They had to win a district game to get there to that. And they played on a Saturday, like you said, on a Thursday, and then played on a Saturday again. So 3 games in 9 days.
And
you know what? It was the same situation with the kids. They weren't going to sit that Thanksgiving Day game. That you know, was just a thing, like you said, you would get a mutiny out of it. So, but you came out with back-to-back wins. Did you sandbag in the Turkey Day game? I mean, did you have to hold a little back knowing you'd be playing?
No, you know, we were, as you always know, your game plan, we were game planning on this because we, both of us know we were going to be playing each other again.
Right.
We had a certain package that we wanted to do. Our quarterback, you know, Henry Hasselbeck, which is Matt's son, he's fast. He's a legit 4-5 electronic. And so we'd, you know, during the year, he's the quarterback, right? You know, you don't want to get your quarterback hurt, but I don't coach scared. But, you know, we're not going to go and run a lot of, say, option stuff with him. You know, he uses his legs when need be. So, and we had all of this, you know, okay, we'll do this. And then on the second to last play of the game on Thanksgiving, he gets his nose broke. I mean, he looked like Chuck Wepner. The nose was pushed off onto the right side. He comes to the sideline. We had a freshman boy go in and just run a play to position the ball. And then Henry went back out and held. So we did use some of that on Thanksgiving, but the problem was is the doctors had told Matt and Henry was, you know, well, if you get hit again, you know, there could be, you know, as doctors are, you know, some serious damage and you won't be able to finish the game. So we had to take that out. But other than that, it was a regular game. And you know, because we know each other because you've got all season long. You see them and through tapes and whatnot. Both teams play their stuff.
Impressive to win against your arch rival within 6 days twice. I think it was, what, 23-21 the first time around, and then the championship was 31-25, and you throw in Chuck Wepner, who I actually saw lose to Larry Holmes because Larry's from my hometown and used to cover him there. So I know who Chuck Wepner is. He bled a lot.
Well, you know, I have to sometimes remember how old I am when I say, "Hey guys, you're the Bayonne bleeder," and they all look at me and say, "All right, I'll give you a history lesson now." And then that's, I guess, part of it, you know. And it's funny because, of course, you know, Don, Mr. Hasselbeck, knows because he's actually about a year older than I am. But it's a very fortunate thing to be in that position and to, like you said, play our rival twice, you know, within 6 days. And it was kind of funny. At a football clinic in Newport, Rhode Island, I was down and went over to meet the new head coach at Boston College, Bill O'Brien. I coached against him when he was a student at St. John's Prep so many years ago. And I'm like, whoa, you know.
You're getting old, coach. I love it. Alvin Aro is on the line. Zarian Brother has won the Division I Super Bowl, the championship at Gillette. I'm going to talk to you about being the Patriots Coach of the Year coming up here and just the thrill of playing in Gillette. But before we get to that, you got some of the coaches in by name. Let's get some of the kids. You mentioned Henry at quarterback. You should change the name there maybe to Zarian Brothers, a.k.a. Hasselbeck High, maybe. I don't know. But let's get some of the other kids in by name that were leaders on that team that led to that championship last year.
Yes, sir. We had a young man who was a wide receiver and cornerback, Jonathan Montero. Jonathan will be going and playing football at Liberty next year. Jonathan, as most players, coach, you know, they all want to catch touchdown passes. But I will think that the thing as a coach that really made me smile, we were coming back on a bus ride and he's arguing and he's on the phone with somebody. And he goes, "I gave up that one completion. That should never happen." And that's great, you know, because everybody, like I said, want to catch touchdowns. Great, great, really, really good play for us. Our tailback to start the year off was boy Denzel Washington. Denzel Pierre. Denzel Washington. Well, that's because I used to call him Training Days, and they don't. Again, I make these, and they go, "What?" I said, "I watch the movie."
I love it.
Tough boy from the city. Was not eligible as a junior because of state rules. He had started the year already another school when he transferred in. That was fine. A great year, and then he unfortunately got a high ankle sprain, which limited him through the playoffs. We were able to get him into the game for a few carries, which helped us in the championship game. But in his replacement was a boy who was playing safety for us, Michael Connor, who did an exemplary job and really took it upon himself. You know, we're not two platoon. We don't have that type of numbers and or talent that perhaps some schools have in other parts of the country. But we try and do our best to limit, you know, the repetitions of those two-way guys. We have a gentleman who was our center, Andrew Dufault, who's actually already at Penn State. He's a long snapper. Now, you know all those calls and those he goes to all those clinics. He was lack of craziness, the number one rated long snapper in the country as a junior going into this past year as a senior. A great leader. Also played defensive tackle. Was very, very intelligent. You know, he was able to take classes for 2 years in the summer because we don't generally have boys leave early. So he was able to finish out his academic career, and he's already down at Penn State, working out with the team and doing spring practice. And then we have a young man who's thankfully for us is coming back next year, Micah Amidi, who is a defensive end. He came to us and, you know, it was going to be a tackle or a guard. And, you know, it wasn't really clicking with him early on. And as much as I'm a defensive guy and I don't just think you can just go up there and play, he went out and he's a war daddy. And he was offered a scholarship by Boston College 3 weeks ago and he committed 7 days later. He's a Division I football player, and he gets excited. He's on the track team, which we always encourage our boys to do as much as you can, coach, because you know some point in time somebody's going to tell you that you're done. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask for the playbook, so do what you can. We had a young man who had stepped in for us, Jordan Wilson. We lost a really good player, Charlie Camella, who's going to Boston College, who broke his collarbone right before the season. And he had been an all-state player of the year before, and then Jordan came in an undersized corner, but he can really run and did a very, very good job for us defensively.
I want to get something in here that's a little off the topic of your team and that, but we don't get to Massachusetts a whole lot here with the podcast. And one of the things that I love doing is going to every state. You know, I live in Georgia right now. I've lived in Southern California, you know, grew up around a lot of good football in Pennsylvania. But some of the smaller states, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but Massachusetts, as you said, is a smaller state. I'd love for you to put on your kind of Chamber of Commerce hat there, be an ambassador. Talk to the people around the country about the state of high school football in Massachusetts. Can you kind of condense it for us and let us know the brand of football being played there, the growth of the sport, how it's doing, that sort of thing?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we have football players in this state, and we may not have the numbers, obviously, like Texas, Ohio, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, but at the top level, very competitive. We have it's kind of an anomaly in this part of the country. We have these things that are prep schools, but they're also, what they do is they reclassify. Now, we're not one of those. Boys will go in and repeat their sophomore year, we'll say. So that's like a red shirt type of deal. And so there are boys from other parts of the state and out of the country who come down to those schools. Now, we don't play those because they're in a different organization, but in the state organization in which we play, I've seen over the past 7 to 10 years more of an emphasis of year-round type training. There's indoor facilities where boys are, you know, catching. They'll do, you know, pass drops. They're blocking on bags, and it's not with their team. And again, this is not to bore your listeners here. Anything that involves a young man doing football, I'm happy with, but I don't think it should, you know, encompass their whole lives. We've seen that in baseball, hockey, basketball, right? You know, you're a high school kid, but I think that, you know, once a few people started to look around and say, hey, they've got some ball players. And I can't pinpoint the exact time or person, but to give props to Coach Don Brown, who's now the head coach at UMass Amherst, he had 7 Massachusetts boys out there at Michigan, which helped them win a national championship this year. If Mike Sanders, still a defensive back, Zinter, who's an offensive guard, Kaylee Mullins, who had gone there, was a linebacker and played some tailback and fullback and linebacker for them this year. So I think that, you know, opportunity given, and one of the things that has helped that is the internet, is these combines and national showcases now that some young men are going to, and showing that we do have football players in this state, and we just need for these coaches to come. Now, in the month of June 14th, there's this huge showcase out in Springfield, Massachusetts. It's called The Bone. It's an acronym for the best of New England. And it's crazy. They'll have about 1,000 young men out there, but there will be, well, it's the Power Four now, not no longer the Power Five, but there'll be at least 2 representatives from every Power Four conference. And then obviously a large contingent of New England division, what I still call 1AA, Division II and Division III schools. So it's a great way for young men to showcase their athleticism. And I think that has just spurred this on. Awesome. And I think young men see that this is an opportunity for them.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. And again, we keep I keep going back to our age here, but isn't it hard to drop 1AA?
FCS, I don't know. Why?
I just think I don't know the alphabet. That's what I say to people. I just stick with 1AA because I'm that slow. Alfinaro on the line here as we kind of close things down. I want to talk about, I mentioned it earlier, you were the Patriots Coach of the Year. You also won it during the week. Longtime listeners of High School Football America know our affiliation with NFL Play Football and all the teams doing so much to reach down into high school ranks. Let me start with that question first. Patriots do a lot reaching down into the high school ranks and the youth ranks, and you get to play your championship games at Gillette. What does it mean to you as a long timer there in the state that the Pats are doing that for the sport of high school football?
Oh, it's fantastic. It really is. Mr. Kraft and the whole Kraft company has been so generous to the state coaches. We have our annual clinic there. We used to run our combine at the facility, and to open up the doors so that young men can play a state championship game in a NFL stadium. Now, I tell you, the first time some of those guys are out there and that ginormous jumbotron is on and they're looking at him like, hey, let's go. They're going to blow the whistle. But, you know, as I said, movie Hoosiers, right? It's 100 yards long, 53 and a third wide, boys. Let's go play. But to see, now we were fortunate this year because we were on the opposite sideline. They only seat the fans on one side. So that's great for two reasons. One, I can hear myself because there's no crowd behind us, but the young men get to see that backdrop. And so their parents over there and their friends and whatnot. But to go down onto the stadium where they've seen, you know, all the players play. And the other fortunate thing is Mr. Tippett, Andre Tippett, his son played for us, and he's been a friend of the program. And, you know, he was down there after the game with his son, Colby. And it's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool.
Andre is a great guy and a guy that presented you with your awards, your Coach of the Week and Coach of the Year. And, you know, Coach of the Year means you were one of the 32 finalists for the Don Shula Award. Did you ever think that you'd have Fanaro and Shula being mentioned in the same sentence? What'd it mean to you?
Absolutely not. Never. I when we were invited to a Patriots game, all the Coach of the Weeks. And, you know, then they announced, you know, that I was the Coach of the Year. And I said, well, there ought to be a recount on that one. You know, just to be mentioned with some of the fine coaches that were Coaches of the Week and the coaches that we have in our state is an honor. And I think part of it for me, and I always say this, we've got a number of, as all states do, sir, that are really good coaches, but they maybe are in a place that they just don't have a number of athletes, or they you know, to be as successful and as fortunate as other schools. And I think that those, and they have been honored. You know, if you take a look at, you know, who the coach was, it's not always from the, you know, we're in the Division I, which in our state is the largest, and then it works its way down. I know in a lot of states it's the reverse, like 6A in Texas is the highest. But it's humbling, but this is the God's honest truth. It really doesn't have anything to do with me. It has with those 89 boys we had on the team this year, and the the 13 assistant coaches that we have. It's the work that they put in. I mean, this is sad, but, and I think a lot of head coaches might agree, I do less actual on-the-field coaching now than when I was a defensive coordinator and or when I was a position coach, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll try and interject just to let them know, hey, I still do know a little bit about football. Please let me coach for a second here. You know, but to have those young men and my assistants, the credit really goes to them.
It's, you're the CEO, and you're the guy that gets all the glory and all the interviews, and you also get some of the crap too when it doesn't go right.
I'll take that. I always. And we tell the young men, you know what? I'll take the blame for everything. You know, we lose a game, that's on me. It's never on those, you know, 14 to 18 year old young men.
Yeah.
And if there's any accolades, it goes right to them. I haven't made or attempted a tackle in over 45 years.
And that's a good thing.
That is a great thing.
I don't know what would happen if I would try that right now. But let's wrap up with a quick peek ahead. The beauty of high school sports, right, is kids graduate. They may be there maximum of 4 years for you, but sooner or later, everything changes. Everything's new each year, a new personality of the program, that sort of thing. Tell me what you're working on here in the off season. Obviously, one of the mantras is the championship was last year, boys. We got 24 ahead of us. So what are you working on? What would make the 24 season a good one for the Hawks?
Well, we always start with this, you know, what's one is done, on to the next one. And that's a weekly win type of deal. So you know what? I think we've got a good core of young men coming back. We're going to be young. But one of the wonderful things about, you know, winning a state championship is that the young players see what the boys ahead of them did. How hard did they work? Well, I want to be there, so I know I have to work as hard. You know, I think we have a quarterback in our program. I think he's going to be a fine quarterback. He'll be a sophomore. He did have to play and start a whole game because we lost him before a game with muscle spasms. I think that... you know, the program's in a good place as far as the young men who do come to our school are interested in playing. I wish we had we don't have a bona fide tailback right now. So early on, it's going to be, you know, running back by committee. And I'm sure we've got, I was just talking to my running back coach yesterday. We have about 3-4 candidates, and they can all do a little bit of something. Nobody can do everything better than all the other ones. So, you know, that'll take a little bit of time for us to figure that out. And, you know, I think we're going to be okay because they, you know, the funny thing is this, our championship banquet is a week from tonight. We schedule it so that when they get their championship ring, so it's been a while. I kind of do want to put a bow on it because it is time, you know, and it has been since we started our off-season training to prepare for next year. Because you can't, what happened yesterday doesn't matter. You know, what have you done for me lately? That's the old cry, right? And so they know that. They're already scheduled a number of them to go to some camps early in the summertime. We're involved in a 7-on-7 league, which, you know, I know people, some people like them, some people have their detractors. But as long as their minds are right and they're getting their bodies ready, I think come August, you know, we'll be good to go.
Coach, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. It's been fun. We've covered a lot of ground, and I just want to, you know, congratulate you on all the success you've had, and thank you, too, as I do all the coaches I talk to. People, you know, that sit in the stands and yell, there's a few of those, don't understand what you guys do, the role you play in America for the young men out there, and I just want to thank you for putting in all that time. Like I said, I'm not trying to make you sound like a dinosaur, but guys like you that last 3, 4, 5 decades, I'm not sure we're going to see them 50 years from now. So thanks for all you've done for the game.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And thank you for all that you do for high school sports, specifically football. This is great. The more people who know about what you do and others like you, the better it is for our sport.
Well, thank you very much. And don't forget, tonight is the night that 32 individuals will find out if they're first-round picks in the NFL draft. And High School Football America is the place to be all weekend long for draft coverage. We, of course, take it from the angle of high school football. So the High School Football America Draft Tracker is back for year number 10. We've been doing it since 2015. We go pick by pick where every player played their high school football. It all starts tonight with round one, and we'll be here throughout the weekend. And lots of great content up on highschoolfootballamerica.com as well that we've been putting up all week long, looking back over the first 9 years of the NFL tracker. We've got all the overall number one picks. That's a great story. We have highlights. Could be 5 or 6 quarterbacks hearing their names called tonight, and we have highlights from high school from all 6 of them. Check it out. And you can follow us in many, many different ways to keep up with what's going on. We're doing it on X, formerly Twitter, at HSFB America. That's our handle there. High School Football America is the handle on Instagram and also on Facebook. I forgot there for a second. That's okay. I got a lot on my mind today as we get into the NFL draft. But anyway, High School Football America, your place to be. And as I remind everyone more and more, man, I get really crazy when I go to a website and have pop-ups and I have, you know, subscriptions needed, you know, all of that stuff. You got to pay for it, you know, a paywall. We don't have that at High School Football America. As they say, High School Football America is the land of free content. Yeah, we're building off of something there, as you can tell. But we've got free content. Just go to highschoolfootballamerica.com. It's free. It's for you. It's for the fans. That's why we do it. The High School Football America podcast has been brought to you by NFL Play Football. Coaches, don't forget to check out playfootball.nfl.com for some great resources to help you improve in the coaching profession. That's today's HSFA podcast, and I'm Jeff Fisher.